If you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin. Well, hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells. I'm AJ, and welcome to the Adventurers Anonymous podcast, the home of fantasy fucknuggetry. Come join us week by week as a rotating cast of geeks sip cocktails, play Dungeons & Dragons, and dance around the boundaries of common decency. Joining me this week, by popular demand, and let's be honest, habit. First up, coming to you from the city of Sheffield, we have two people who many see as the Shrek and Donkey of this tale. It's Mr. Chris Neal and Mr. Chris Rag. I'll leave you listeners to decide which one's which.
Do you want to take this one? I feel like I'd need help reacting to this.
I feel like it's meant to be me as Shrek, but if anything, I'm the jollier one and you're the grumpy ogre. not you personally in your home life, but your character. And in all our interactions outside of the podcast.
I've only been the grumpy one for the last 30 years. I had one year when I was really, really good, and that wasn't even when I was first born. It was like maybe when I was like 15.
You did nap a lot that year, so it was a good year for you.
I did. It was a good year for napping.
You want to come out? You want to come out and play? No, I'm sleeping here.
Now I'm trying to sleep, dickhead.
Wow, Jesus Christ! I can actually imagine that. I can imagine that.
That is very Shrek vibes.
That
actually
definitely happened many times.
It happened more than once. It happened a lot of times. And that is like big Shrek and Donkey vibes, though. Donkey turning up, knocking on his hut door, and being like, "You want to go outside?" And then Shrek just being like, "No, Donkey, I'm trying to sleep. Fuck off."
Do you know what? I imagine you were born and you came out just flicking the V's to all the nurses. I could see it.
Interesting time to say flicking and V's.
Whoa.
You're really, really right on the border here.
Sorry, Mrs. Neal. Not intended. Right, next up, coming to you from the mystical land of Finland, we have the Scandi Sauna Sausage himself, Mr. Matt Durant. How you doing, buddy?
Good, yeah. How about that February?
Yeah, that month. It's a slow burn, February. What's your favourite month, Matt? We're going to get some enthusiasm out of you, even if I have to die trying.
And that's how you want to get enthusiasm out of us, by asking his favourite month?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to engage him in, like, relevant conversation.
That's a really good question, because normally I'd say like November, because that's when my birthday is, but it's actually quite a dark and depressing month. Probably I'd have to go for August or maybe June, but not July.
So you really do have a downer on a lot of the months. Listeners, what you may not know and what I always forget is that three out of the four people you're currently listening to share a birthday within about a week of each other, which, you know, statistically is slim.
That's what they say about Scorpios or Libras or the one after that.
That's what they say about insert zodiac sign here.
I tell you what, we can fuck with any demographic, all right, but let's not fuck with astrology, all right, because they're in touch with some powerful vibrations, all right, and I need that lunar shit coming down on me.
I mean, you don't need to get mystical about it. I mean, it's like 9 months after Valentine's Day. It's not really...
Well, what? Our birthdays?
Have you never made that calculation?
Yeah!
Because it's...
I remember how old I was when I realised that my birthday was nearly 9 months to the day after Valentine's Day. I apologise to Colin and Margaret. I'm sure you listened to this.
I was like, how many people will I accidentally break by saying this? And I was like, as long as it's not all three, then we're fine.
Yeah.
Yes. Everyone born in mid-November has that realisation at some point that they're the product of a Valentine's shag. Okay, right, time is galloping away from us. Galloping away.
Just a product of sex.
Two people going at it.
No, it could have been scientific. Somebody with a test tube and a turkey baster could have been from a clinic.
Yeah. Shout out to my IVF homies.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know any, but statistically I probably do.
I've worked in marketing for a long time, and we ended up with an IVF client for a bit, and I always wanted to suggest like an Easter egg hunt for an IVF clinic. I think it would be so much fun to just scatter the eggs around a park amongst the daffodils.
Better find them before they thaw out.
Yeah. But anyway, on that little note, sorry, just a thought.
Note to editor, delete.
If you work for a marketing company, that's yours. I'm not even going to charge you.
Can we get a recap, Daddy?
For the love of God, if one more fucking person calls me Daddy, I'm going to lose my shit, all right? I don't even let my kids go.
What will you do, Daddy? Will you punish us?
Ah, dear God. This is like some weird fucking sub-dom shit that I am not down for.
Don't kink shame us.
Yeah. Don't kink shame him, Daddy.
Yeah, all right. This is... Listeners, I have never felt this awkward in my life. I shat myself at work once. I've still never felt this awkward. Right. Okay. Recap.
You think that's going to shut us up?
Game face.
What?
Game face. Come on.
You can't say that and then say game face.
Shut up. Back in your corner, you little gnome. Right. Last we left off with our intrepid adventurers, we had left them galloping across the plains outside Nicodranas, where they had fled the city, hotly pursued by elves. They had commandeered, and where I say commandeered, you can insert stolen if you want, a hearse with a coffin in, and the party and the two vampires in coffins had blazed across the eastward plains outside Nicodranas towards the base of the Sirius Mountains, where they were trying to track down Sister Perineus. Having been pursued by elves, they got to use all of their newfound weaponry. And most importantly, Hanash got to use his first stick of dynamite, turning one of the elves into pink mist. Having survived all of this and made it to the other side, travelling on for a bit, they finally reached the edge of the forests at the base of the Sirius Mountains, and they took a moment to pause, catch a breath, and cool down. It was at this point that Tati reminded the party that he had come into possession of the Ring of Three Wishes. And having talked for a while, the party decided that it would be mutually beneficial if Hanash and Belsiar were cured of their vampirism. So, with awe and trepidation and fear, the party used the ring for the first time. And the two afflicted party members had the vampiric condition reversed, if you will, feeling blood pumping around their bodies once more and their hearts beating. But, dear listeners, for anyone who has listened to the last episode, there was a sting in the tail of the episode, as using the Ring of Wishes also changes the timeline. And one of the sad side effects of this was... for the bird, poor Cato, who died previously and been resurrected by his master, Belsiar, and turned into a vampire. And with the timeline being adjusted and rewritten, there would have been no vampire to save poor Cato. So we ended the episode with Belsiar holding the small dead form of yet another pet. And that is where we will pick up with this week's episode.
Very sad that this has happened again, and it happening again doesn't take away any of the pathos of the death of a beloved crow who I often forgot existed. I guess it's slightly easier because he is probably a bit vampirified. He's probably a bit ragged now, like feathers falling out, but still sad. I don't know, we've still got two wishes left, I think to myself idly.
Sure do.
Is the life of one crow a wishable thing? Or perhaps I should say goodbye to Cato?
It's up to you. I mean, I know one of the things I was thinking about asking for was to bring back Marvin. And just watching Raggy shake his head.
that prick?
Raggy doesn't even know the difference between Marvin and Keith. He's proved this many times.
Oh, it's fodder.
Maybe the gods will give us a twofer.
Is that like a reach around?
What about if we ask for Orchid Wolf? We ask for all our familiars to come back to life.
All animals we've killed.
I mean, that's a bit dicey. I'm sure there's been a stray fireball here or there. It's probably killed a lot of fleas and flies and bees and shit.
I think the more generic the wish, the better. I think that's the way to go. Anyone that we've killed comes back to life.
You don't need to be specific. Yeah, when we say animals, we mean all living creatures, so that includes the bad ones.
All living creatures that have been in our party.
You've definitely killed a lot. I mean, as your DM, I'll tell you for free. There have been, certainly from Mr. Neil, Tatty, there have been a lot of errant arrows, which have killed squirrels on branches.
Ah, that's fine.
You'd be changing the course of quite a lot of the universe if you did do that. But I leave it in your hands.
Do I know of any, there must be like clerics who do a bit of resurrection. I mean, technically we have a cleric in the party.
Yeah, technically we have Aristobulus, who definitely has Revivify now.
But then I'd feel awkward about asking Aristobulus. I think I'd rather...
You see Aristobulus is basically just... he's gone over to a bush with random bright red berries on it, and he's just plucking some of the berries off and just rubbing them into his gums.
I guess I'll take Cato over to Aristobulus and say, look, Aristobulus, I know we haven't always seen eye to eye, and I've said a lot of things about you behind your back that I probably now regret.
That's all right.
But is there anything you can do for my crow?
I mean, I don't want to make a big thing out of it. I'm not very good at this whole cleric thing. Well, I mean, I can say a few words over him if you want. Were you asking for like a miracle or something?
Yeah, I mean, can you get Beelzebub or...
I mean, I can try.
The Lord of Flies or whoever it is, your divine AA sponsor to step in and...
He looks down at his chest and he's got various like medallions and chains around his neck with all different random religious symbols on it. It's been so long for Aristobulus, he can barely remember who his actual master is. As he's like, look, if it'll make you feel any better, I'm happy to say some words. But look, I can barely even muster a healing. I mean, I tell you what, Maud's pretty good with the old taxidermy thing. Should probably make you a handbag out of him or something, or like...
No, I don't think he'd want that.
We could turn him into a flute.
I really don't think he'd want that. No, I...
No? I mean, would you like me to try?
To turn him into a flute?
Ah, to pray to the gods.
Perhaps you could try.
All right. Okay. As he finishes rubbing the berries into his gums, he's like, do you want some?
Go on then. Will it help?
Yeah, it's part of the religious process. As he just plucks some more gums off and gives them to you.
Gums?
What the fuck am I talking about? He just plucks some berries off the tree and gives them to you. He's like, all right, come on. He sits cross-legged on the floor, barefoot. He said, place a crow between us.
I gently lay him on the ground.
As you sit cross-legged opposite your cleric counterpart, Aristobulus says, all right, hold my hands. As he just reaches out two sweaty hands towards you.
Can I make an investigation? No.
His hands are clammy.
Actively not make an investigation check to not figure out whatever he's got on his hands.
What is on them? I don't want to know.
He's got the equivalent of like Cheeto dust on them. His hands are like all sorts of like weird sticky orange from the berries. You put the bird in the middle. All right, yeah, come on in. Hold my hand. Let's pray. Now, what I need you to do is take deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. All right. Now, I need you to go to a place of calm and tranquility and I need you to focus on a happy memory of Kato, all right?
I desperately scan for any times Kato was happy.
No.
I think before he met me, maybe he was happy.
I'm going to need you to try a little bit harder than that, I'm afraid.
Let's see. I think I gave him some crumbs once.
All right. You focus on that, all right? Let me do the rest. As I'm just going to make a quick... Excellent. As Aristobulus starts praying, you hear him speaking in like guttural tongues, the words almost not making sense as he's like, kamarash, kamala, lamacharcham, shachechamech.
As racist!
He starts hearing.
Wow.
You're going to get Hall & Oates involved again.
Shut up. I'm trying to do a miracle here, Chris Neal. Fucking hell. Right. If he's not calling me a racist, he's calling me daddy. Not sure which one I prefer. As Aristobulus starts muttering mystical words, you hear music faintly on the breeze, like the sound of tambourines and bells.
Is it Bob Dylan?
It's a joyous cacophony.
Can I make some kind of check in that direction?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can make me a perception check if you wish.
Perception
19. Yeah, definitely seems to be coming from your right hand side.
And shout, can you keep it down? We're trying to perform a holy miracle here.
You stand up, peer over the hedgerow where you've parked the cart on the roadside, and just howl. As you look over, you see a procession. There seem to be a load of villagers, all carrying different musical instruments and seem to be like garbed in flowers and stuff like that. And behind them, there's a cart with a couple sitting on chairs on it. One of them dressed all in white and one in a linen suit. As you stick your head over the hedge and howl at them to shut the fuck up.
Okay. Guess it's a wedding?
You see, quite taken aback, the music kind of stops as the cart pauses. Yeah, the rest of you can see this, by the way, Tati, Panache, as there appears to be an ad hoc wedding procession slowly moving up the road next to where you've pulled over. As you hear, like, the joyous singing, there seems to be some sort of celebration of a wedding.
Is there a priest? Possibly one better than Aristotle.
You're going to have to make me a perception check for that one.
Okay. 12.
Yes. You see a very hip and trendy looking priest at the back wearing some pretty swaggy gear. As officers of religion go, this guy looks hot. Think your local youth club, like, youth worker at like a trendy, charismatic church, and you're about there.
Looks like Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man Far From No Way Home, should I say.
I shout out, Your Holiness, can you bring on this blessed day, grant me unto me some kind of holy resurrection?
Make me a persuasion check, you lunatic. You holding
just,
a dead Christ
just holding
next,
you.
Next to a wedding entourage.
14.
As he looks down, he's like, good morrow to you, sir. Oh, what have we here? An offering for the married couple, perhaps?
No, my crow died, and I'm going through some stages of grief, and I know it's a long shot, but I mean, this guy's rubbish. I thought maybe you're better at being a priest.
As Aristobulus is like, hey, just because I ain't got trendy hair and I dress like a tramp, don't mean you need to belittle me.
Okay, it's not all about looks, Aristobulus.
Fuck me.
But you could shave. You could cut your hair. Anyway, we're getting distracted.
I got my own brand. Fuck you.
It's not all about looks, but if you can't do the other stuff as well, yeah, then the looks.
We're gonna talk about it. There's mystics and gurus who can get away with that look because they're very talented and knowledgeable. But anyway, I digress.
As Aristobulus just huffs off, he fucking skulks away into the undergrowth. You are left talking to the trendy pastor as he's like, "Well, it's nice to meet you. My name's Amos Hawthorne."
"Nice to meet you, Amos."
And he pumps your hand.
"These are my traveling companions, Teddy Bojangles, Hamash."
"Stop."
"How do you do?"
Maud looks up with Keith on her knee. She's just sitting on the back of the hearse. She nods with suspicion. Maud really doesn't trust anyone of any religious office due to her upbringing. Yeah, as Amos is like, "Well, it is a good day. Will you perhaps join us for this merry wedding feast? There is food aplenty."
I guess Keith is not getting any deader. I'll just wrap him up in a sheet.
I mean, also, neither are the bride and groom. Your Holiness, if you don't mind, would you be able to do some divine magic here and try and bring this crow back?
Sure, make me a persuasion check, please, Tati.
I'm sure the happy couple won't mind. Okay, that's not good. That's a 9.
Okay. He's already dressed in very trendy gear. He is wearing his Sunday best. I mean, he's got a fitted suit on. It looks pretty hot. And he looks down at the bedraggled form of the slightly decomposing crow as he looks slightly confused as he's like, "Look, it's not my boon. It's not within my grasp to bring back things from the afterlife, but I can offer you recompense and maybe the opportunity to forget about your problems for just a minute. I can offer you a cup of wine and a meal."
"Deal."
"And a celebration with this here couple," as he points to the couple on the back of the cart who are just so, like, they're so in love with each other, they're just canoodling, basically. They don't even notice. They're newly married. They've got that kind of love rush.
I'll take
that will wear off within about 2 days.
"I'll take the wine.
I'm divorced, I'm allowed to say that."
"Yeah."
He hasn't got the wine on him. He says...
I just reach out my hand.
Well, look. If you... we are from the village of Baden Knox, just round the corner.
"You what?"
But a stone's throw.
"Well, I mean, I never... Cato would want me to not turn down a free meal. That's what he would have wanted."
That bird did love a free meal, and Tati imagines all the times when Cato would vampirically drain someone's blood and or slaughter them. And his cold dead heart warms a single degree.
What's Hanash doing whilst all of this is going on? Whilst Tati's sweet talking a youth pastor and Belciar's coming to terms with the loss of...
"That didn't feel nice."
"It's not sexual, Chris. It's purely friendly.
Everything with you is sexual."
"I'll take that." "Go on, Hanash, what are you doing?"
Hanash is looking for food. He's investigating for food. That's what he's doing.
Make me an investigation check.
12.
12. On a 12, there's not a great deal of food around other than the rations you've got yourself. You happen upon, in the front of the carriage at the hearse, a nuzzle bag for the horses, and you find some carrots in there.
"They won't mind." And I just, like, bob for carrots.
"Oh, you're putting the nuzzle bag on. Excellent."
"Bobbing for carrots."
As the wedding party looks over, there's just a reanimated half-orc with a nuzzle bag on his face, just chowing down on oats and carrot.
They say dying's hungry work, but they never said anything about coming back to life.
True that. So, are you of a mind to travel with this wedding party?
I'd rather you have to improvise for the next hour and a half, but...
A young, trendy youth pastor-looking motherfucker and a young couple that's in love? No, I don't want to be with these people. It really harsh my vibe.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
What's up, adventurers? I'm Chris, a.k.a. Tatty Bojangles, a.k.a. everybody's favorite sad boy gnome. I'm here to talk to you about Fan Roll Dice. Look, we all love dice. They're the little knickknacks that make the clickety-clacks and help us do a whole bunch of maths. That's why we've teamed up with Fan Roll Dice to offer our listeners 10% off when you use the code ADVENTURER10. With everything from resin to sharp-edged silicone, mini little babies to chunky beefy boys, and beautiful liquid core and gemstone dice, Fan Roll Dice has you covered. So head on over to fanrolldice.com and use code ADVENTURER10 to get 10% off. Now, back to the action.
Can I investigate if there's another wedding procession that we can go to?
You can make a perception check, Hanash. As Hanash leans on the edge of the hedgerow just with a carrot that he's munching on, make me a perception check.
We're in the market for free food and drink, but not with these
people. Imagine if I got a natural 20. Just imagine. I got a 6. Nothing to fear here.
6. You see lots of well-dressed people of varying ages. Some are couples, some are on their own. One that particularly catches your eye, you see an elderly lady who walks over to you leaning on a stick as she's like, "Well met, young man, well met." As she puts her little, I want to use the word desiccated, but it kind of like wiry, withered hand into yours. It's so frail, you're almost afraid of breaking it. As she's like, "You may call me Natty. The villagers call me Old Natty Pike. It is a pleasure to meet you."
Whose hand has she taken?
Yours.
I kind of feel like she's kind of hitting on me a little bit. I'm into it. And
obviously.
So, yeah, like, pleasure to meet you, Natty. Naughty Natty. And then I, like, kind of kiss her hand and I lick it.
As you lick her hand, you realize the saliva you've added to her is probably more moisture than she's got in her fucking body. She looks very old and withered. She looks here. I need you to make me a straight up charisma check. Just a pure charisma check to see how this plays out, because that's a bold move.
Eight.
Oh.
8. The look of horror on the old lady's face. She just stares at you, her face blanch white, her eyes wide as dinner plates, as she just says, My. My late husband Cecil would be jealous. I see I've caught myself a big fish. Come on then. She just takes you by the hand and pulls you into the back of the procession as the cart rumbles on in front of you.
That's what an 8 gets you, Tonash. It gets you. It gets you kidnapped by an old woman. I hope you're happy.
If I roll high, would you have gone away? I
don't. Somehow that's like 8 is the. An 8 is worse than a 1, but better than a 20.
Look, everyone knows in D&D 8s are wild.
8s are wild. Cool. I'm rocking.
Trust me, there was a spectrum of things that could have happened there. There were a spectrum of things that could have happened, and you know, you got what you rolled for. It could have been better. It could have been worse. As all of you carry on trundling along, Tatty, you take the hearse, and you're in tow at the back as the joyous procession joins you as you make your way not further, not too far up the winding path. Around a few bends, as you see the twinkling lights of a small village, as you are introduced to the tiny little village, and it is small. I don't want to say it's a hamlet, but it's not much bigger. Of Baden Knox, at the base of the forest near the Sirius Mountains. You see that it is a little self-contained community, mostly maintained from arable farming. You see there are fields around, a few little houses sprinkled, not even really an inn. There is a church at one end, and on the side a church hall whose doors are thrown open, and you see the timbers of the church hall are festooned with flowers and lanterns in celebration of the wedding of the couple, who are introduced to you. The couple's name, who were both humans and quite young, both of a reasonably young age. The bride is called Matilda Poots.
Matilda Poots got the wedding day toots. God, I should have been a bully as a kid.
I'm going to start taking XP off you. I swear to God,
I really should have been a bully as a kid. I would have if I'd have been a better writer when I was a kid. I'd have killed
them. Why would you be bullying people on their wedding day? Like, of all the times to be a bully,
because they're happy.
That'd be such a great bully. I'd love to get bullied by someone coming up with a notepad. And then, like, try not that.
Wait, I've got bits to try out for you. Just stay still and take the emotional damage.
He's the only bully that tests the material out in Edinburgh once a year.
And you see the groom is called Landon Poots. Matilda, nay O'Reilly, her maiden name, O'Reilly, Matilda O'Reilly, has been married into the Poots family and is now Matilda Poots. Married to Landon Poots, as the married couple walk over to you and just say, "Oh, it's a mighty fine. Thank you for coming to our wedding. I don't mind you crashing. Honestly, me and my wife, we would be happy to have guests at our celebration. There's more than enough food. They've got a suckling pig roasting on the fire. You look like you like a bit of pig." Looking at Hanash, who's being held tight by Natty.
I sure do. Oh.
I look at an animal being roasted alive. No, not roasted alive, but slowly roasted. And it just brings me to tears.
As you just cry, your tears trickling down your crocodile tears, down your scaly snout, just dripping onto the
floor. I'm sorry, I don't mean to ruin your big day.
Matilda's like, "Oh, don't worry. It's okay. This is a time of celebration, and we are sorry for your loss. Maybe we could bury him together."
Would that be okay? I don't want to spoil your wedding by turning it into literally a funeral, but...
No, that's okay. Cycle of life. Cycle
exactly.
of life.
Thank you, Mrs. Poots.
Oh, that's okay. I've got to get used to being Mrs. Poots. Sounds so weird, doesn't it? Oh, come with us. These people really embrace you. Like, they are very supportive as they take you to the edge of the graveyard. And it is a small graveyard. You can see this is people from the local community who are buried there, as they offer you a plot at the end. As Amos Hawthorne, the vicar, comes and rests a hand on your back. He's like, "Well, would you like me to say a few words as we bury your friend?"
Yes, know that he was an angry crow, a talking crow, a crow who'd never wanted to be a vampire, and I guess he's probably now happy to not be a vampire. I just want to say I'm sorry to him.
Tati's going to walk over and just like tug on Belsiel's sleeve a little bit and get him to bend down so I can whisper in his ear. I'll just say, just think how happy he would be knowing that we'd interrupted someone's special day.
Oh.
in the simple act of burying him. And then I'll just pat him on the back and then just stand in the procession.
Hanash like puts these. why are you laughing, Matt? Hanash,
fucking king of comedy.
Hanash just puts his hand on Belsia's shoulder and just puts a carrot in his mouth and says, "That'll do, that'll do," and just walks off.
Just walks off into the night, munching on a bunch of carrots.
Well, there's more at my house that need carrots sticking in them.
I gotta find some mouths.
He's also got old natty.
Oh yeah,
he's got old natty Pikes. The village elderly lady hanging off his arm as well. Belcia, as this is going on, you see your two lackeys who you call Peanut Butter and Jelly, but are not actually called that. They're called Pete and Jeff.
I'll be called what I pay them to be called.
As you see Peanut Butter and Jelly digging a grave, you see they've got a shovel from a shed and they're just digging a grave for Cato as they prop the spade up against someone else's gravestone.
Aww.
And usher you to lower the body in.
Not really a two-man job, is it?
For one crow.
It's only a small grave.
Just kick him in.
He ain't heavy. He's my vampire crow.
It's my brother.
As you lower the crow in very delicately, everybody gives you the silence and respect that you need as you just slowly drop earth into the hole, covering up Cato's prone body. You see Amos Hawthorn, the vicar, says a few words. Almighty your father, we just ask that you take this soul of this beloved creature back unto you and remind us that although his body may be gone, he will forever live in our memories. And truly, the ripples of all that he did will echo on into eternity. And it is only by your love and mercy that any of us live and exist. So thank you, Father. All praise to you. As he just puts a hand on your back, bows his head to Cato, and steps back.
There's only one thing to do now, which is to dramatically and emotionally jump into the grave and start wailing. It should have been me.
As you throw yourself onto the ground and start wailing and crying, Amos just sits with you, just holding you as you cry. It's all right. Grief is a process.
Yeah.
And that's just used in this kind of... Maybe throws dirt at them. Maybe like this is like a ceremony.
Misunderstanding. This is the bit where you throw dirt at the couple, right?
Yeah. You see the rest of the wedding procession goes back to the party. Everyone joined you. They were very supportive. As you hear like a small folk band kick up, as you hear like a lute and like, you know, people just tapping a footboard as there's like a... as like people start whooping and hollering. As you're crying, Belcia, and just weeping at the graveside. Hanash, as you make your way back into the hall, you just see like a ring of people dancing with the married couple, Landon and Matilda at the center, who are having their first dance. You see the villagers all dancing away as Tati, Hanash, cups of wine are pressed into your hand and portions of hot roast pork and tranches of bread are given to all of you.
I think when Belcia was wailing and crying in the grave with the hot youth pastor, I think Tati probably went up to Hanash and says, 5 gold says they end up fucking tonight.
Smart money says he's burned to death by the moon.
I turn to Hanash and Tati, I was like, so they'll be dead.
He'll be careful. He'll be dead.
He'll be dead. See, I get that reference. You're not fucking quoting Community or like Arrested Development.
Indiana Jones.
Mainstream films. I understand.
You're just going to go before the millennium.
Sure.
Yeah, we just have to go like back to the
70s. 1870s.
77 was a good year.
I'm sorry.
Swear to fucking God. I'm going to start stripping XP.
Don't tease us like that, Daddy.
I swear, God, listeners, I'm going to make this the most awkward funeral wedding they've ever been to. Right. What are you... Obviously, Belcia, you're having a reflective period. just thinking about your friend who you've lost, like Belcia. You're sitting by the graveside just crying, and Paquito is sitting in your lap as little starchy tears are just rolling down his spud cheeks.
I never thought Paquito would outlive his namesake, but here we are.
He looks at you with big eyes. And actually, for most of the time, Paquito, who, if you don't know, listeners, and I know some of you have probably joined us recently, Paquito is another one of Belcia's familiars. He's a feral baked potato that came to life using necromantic dark magic. And he's pretty angry most of the time, and he runs around making mischief. Yeah, the little angry baked potato with arms and legs is... He's sad. He just sits in your lap and little starchy tears roll down his cheeks. He puts his head in his little potato knees and just slowly sobs with you. But we will leave that laconic little scene there. And Tati and Hanash, what are you getting up to with the merriments going on?
I see Belcia reflecting, and I want a piece of that. I want to reflect. And with being in like a holy space, I'd like to see if I can like... I still have a connection to my deity. What's his name? I should probably know his name, shouldn't I?
Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah, I want to see if I've still got a connection to Jerry.
Are you taking Natty with you, or have you abandoned Natty?
I give her a cracker and I say, I'll be back soon. And then I go and find her.
You give her a cracker? I can't tell whether that's like a...
All people love crackers, don't they? Yeah.
Fuck, have you found a cracker at a wedding?
I thought you meant like a Christmas cracker, and I was like, cool, it's Christmas.
Is that not what you mean? What's a cracker?
No, like a cheese and crackers cracker.
Oh, like a fucking cheese biscuit. Yeah. I'm with you. No, I was with Chris. I was like, this is oddly festive. Okay, as you go over to the trestle table with all the different food on, you just load old Natty up with enough protein and complex carbohydrates to last her into the next life. And you scuttle off to the washroom, where you find yourself a small basin and a mirror.
If that's my holiest place, then let's go to the bathroom.
That's Hanash's holy place. He likes to take a shit. We know this is true.
I think my connection's broken. Ish, like when I became a vampire, so I'm wondering if, like, now I'm not a vampire, it's gonna back. So yeah, I look into the mirror and I just go, Jerry!
Okay. Make me an arcana check, please, Hanash.
Fuck off. Three.
Three.
Oh, hold on. I think I've got luck, so I think I can re-roll this.
Okay. Is luck a feat you've managed to pick up along the way?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Nine.
Oh, wow. You stand in front of the mirror. You put a hand on either side of it as you stare. Do you know what? It's a nice experience, because as a vampire, you haven't had a reflection in a while. So to be able to see yourself, you take in the full vista for just that little while extra, as suddenly from the bottom of your diaphragm, you bellow the word, Jerry! As you sort of hear the music falter, and, you know, Tati, you can hear this from outside on the dance floor. Hanash, you hear a small, weak cough as there's a flush behind you from a stall, as a small gnome comes out of the toilet stall, stares at you. Doesn't even wash his hands as he's like, good day. And he just backs out.
Jerry? Jerry?
Almost in your mind, you see splinters of the face of Jerry as you hear a small whisper. Yes. Yes.
I think to myself, maybe more chaos will increase my connection to Jerry.
We've got to make as much chaos as we can.
And I'm going to leave it there for now.
As you go to leave, you put your hand on the handle of the bathroom door as you just hear a slightly confused, yes?
Is that a confusion to my cut to VT?
You hear the confused voice of Jerry as he's like,
can you hear me? Can you see me?
You rang?
Oh, hey, Jerry.
Who dis?
Dis me. I didn't realise I had a connection with him. I thought it was like a whisper.
Ah, yes, yes. Hanash, my sweet child. It has been so long. I lost your signal for a while.
I became a vampire. It was kind of fun. I think you'd have been proud of me. But I think it's better like...
No. Come back to the mirror.
Okay. And I like tiptoe back to the mirror.
As you tiptoe back to the mirror, I need you to make me another arcana check.
Sure.
Actually, no. Make me a religion check. Apologies. Make me a religion check. Or make me a pure religion check.
They're the same. 19.
19. That's better. As you stare into the mirror, your eyes clouding over as you see swirling, roiling clouds of red wash out of your eyes and consume the mirror as once more the red demonic face of Jerry wearing a cheap suit. You can see corporate evil does not pay well as Jerry sitting at his desk. He's just got world's best boss mug. And he's wearing a real cheap suit and he's just got a crappy kind of fuzz where he hasn't shaved properly. He's looking slightly bedraggled. Now has a wedding ring on his finger as Jerry is like, yes, yes, Hanash, welcome back. I had all but lost hope meeting with you.
You got to get some new threads, Jerry. You know, you got to spend money to make money. And I think, yeah, I've muzzled off there on the wedding. That's cool.
Thank you.
Is that a wedding or is that just like a, you know, a piece?
You get the feeling that most of his lieges don't talk to him this way as he looks down at the wedding and says, yes, I managed to find myself a little demonette from the lower levels. We've got ourselves a little condo and we've raised a little spritling.
Very nice.
Evil little shit.
Oh, excellent.
Drags his ass along the carpet. Feral as fuck. So proud. Anyway, we focus more on you. Welcome back to the land of the living. Unfortunately, necromancy is not within our wheelhouse. That is a different department. So welcome back. I trust you have some mischief in mind?
I sure do. I'm at a wedding and I'm just wondering, do I just kill everyone or something? Like, that'd be crazy. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? That was so weird.
Yes, yes. I can feel the anger roiling through you. May I remind you, Hanash, I am on commission. For the more chaos and mischief you bespoil, the more boons and bounties I can lavish upon you. And as some secondary byproduct, the better the bonus I will receive, and thus a better quality of suit can I buy, a better holiday can I take with my wife, and maybe we can finally pay for childcare for the spritling. So yes, yes, depravity, chaos.
Is there any boon that you could bestow me to enable me to be more chaotic right now? Almost like a book deal to write the first two chapters, the first two deaths.
Can I advance on
the Jesus.
Can I get an advance on my boon?
Go on, make me a persuasion check.
Okay.
Please be a nat 20.
Come on. That's pretty good. That's pretty 16.
16. Oh my, you really are a cheeky one, aren't you? But yes, yes. Give a little and get a little. As you feel something hard in your hands, you look down and you see a vial with a cork stopper in it. As you look down on the label, it just has a skull and crossbones on it. And a effervescing green liquid in it.
Do I still see Jerry? Can I still talk to Jerry?
Yeah, you can still see Jerry.
I say, for me? And I go to drink, but like hesitating. And you're like,
No, you bellend! Do not drink the poison!
It's probably a super tasty craft beer, right?
Right?
This artwork is so cool. So fresh.
It's so dank. Okay.
Yes, Anash, prove yourself to the powers of darkness. Prove yourself, and many a boon will be given unto you.
You like boons? Yes!
Also, is that folk music I can hear in the background?
You bet it is.
The friend of darkness. Folk music.
I think there might be some jazz coming on there.
Fuck jazz. Jazz is the work of the weak-minded. For only pure darkness could have generated country and western. Right. Anyway, we digress.
Guys, music tastes are wildly specific.
I have given unto you, Anosh, a boon as a welcome back present to the powers of darkness. Prove unto us that you can be an agent of depravity, of lasciviousness, of all that is debauched, depraved, and disgusting. And maybe we can give unto you boons and presents, rewards greater than your wildest dreams.
Hanash, like, starts shitting halfway through that monologue.
No, I have told you before. As Jerry is like, as you hear Jerry driving. No! As you see the connection cuts away. As Jerry just vanishes into a roiling swirl of red cloud, and you just see your face again. You look at your face. You've been leaning up against the mirror, and just sweat is beaded on your half-orc green brow. As you look down at your hand, shaking, clutched in one hand is the vial of poison. Almost the music, which had dimmed in your perception because you were so focused on the conversation, you now hear the kind of like ding a 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 ding coming through from the hall outside.
I'm gonna peel the label off just so like when I'm pouring it in, people don't like that's poison. I'm like, nah man, this is some straight liquor.
Sweet. You're holding the effervescing green test tube. Now with no label on it, as you push open the bathroom stall door, you look out on the hall. Everyone is so happy. Like, everyone's dancing and cavorting. People are just making merry. People are feasting. You see the roast suckling pig crackling over the embers of the fire. You just see people just pushing cupfuls of wine and mead into people's hands as you see the dance in the center with concentric rings of people dancing in opposite directions with the married couple Matilda and Landon in the middle. You remember what Jerry said to you about acts of debauched depravity, chaos and anger. As you look down at the vial of poison in your hand and you look back up the party, that is where we are going to pause this episode.
Yes.
I want to see what Hanash is going to do. I'm genuinely fucking terrified. This is also, as you might suspect, nothing to do with what I thought this episode was going to be about. But, you know, we improvise and we'll see.
I want to remind Chris Ragg as well that he's still got Natty somewhere. If that adds into the mix. In your chaos brain. She's there somewhere.
So tempted to have her walk into the bathroom stall, but I was like, no, we'll do something truly shocking. We'll get cancelled. Well, hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells. That's about all we're going to achieve for this week's episode. Seeing as you made it this far, why not consider hitting that subscribe button and never miss another episode again? Better yet, If you're feeling up for it, why not give us a 5-star review on whatever podcasting platform you are on? All of your reviews and recommendations really help spread the word of all of this crazy fantasy fucknuggetry, and they really do mean the world to us. So drop us a review, and you never know, we might be reading it out on next week's episode. If you fancy chatting to us about anything you've heard across the course of this episode, your best bet is to find us on the app formerly known as Twitter, now X. You can find us at Adventurers, A-N-O, number one. And you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook, etc., etc., etc. Right, that just leaves time to say a massive goodbye from Chris, Raggy, Matt, and myself. We'll see you back here next week for more fun-packed fantasy fucknuggetry. I'm going to get some wine. I've deserved it. Adventurers out.